Hello, and welcome to Word of the Master, the radio outreach ministry of New Hope Community Church in Lancaster, California. I'm Pastor Ryan Parrish, so glad to welcome you as we wrestle together with the Word of God and discover together what our lives are meant to be all about. In today's message, we'll be exploring a profound implication of the Apostle Paul's words to the church in Colossians 1, 28 and 29 that has the power to utterly transform our understanding of what it means to be Christians. Please turn to Colossians 1, 28-29 in your Bibles as we present to you this message entitled, Better Than Better.
There's a lady, and her son's going to get married soon. It's official. They're engaged. She's known that her son's been pretty serious about this girl for a while, and so she's been looking forward to the time that hopefully they'd make this decision. And now they have. And she's got a little less than a year now to get ready for the big day. It's not her big day, but it kind of is. And so she's kind of had her eye out on different dresses and thinking of this big day to come, and she finally found the one. You know what I'm talking about, the one. And so she went into the store to go pick it up, and she tried it on, and she realized this thing's a little too small. I've got a few too many inches on the waistline, a few too many pounds. So she goes to the lady and asks, is there another size, a little bit bigger size? And said, no, that's the last one, sorry. It's the only size we have. It's decision time. Do I give up the dress so I don't have to lose any pounds or inches? Or do I commit to take that dress home and get into it, darn it? And her choice was to take the dress home. She plopped down her money, took that dress home, and she hung it up as a reminder to herself, I need to fit into that dress. Well, it's not just a matter of getting the dress, it's also a matter of fitting into it. So she has to come up with a plan, her strategy. What is it going to be? She's going to eat better, cut out the garbage, eat more fruits and vegetables, the stuff we all know to do and just don't, right? And she's going to exercise. She's going to get up early because her days are really busy. So she's going to carve out some extra time in the morning, get up and just go. She's determined that she's going to not only lose pounds but inches so that she can fit into that dress. As time goes on, she's really doing well. She is humming, and she starts to see some progress. She's lost a few pounds. Her clothes are fitting a little looser. She's feeling good. She has a choice to make now. Is she going to settle for being a little bit thinner and a little bit lighter, or is she going to keep pursuing the goal of fitting into that dress? Here's the difference. One is vague, comparison to where I started. I'm better. And one is quite specific. That dress. You can't fool with the dress. You either fit or you don't, right? There's nothing vague about that. But being a little thinner, a little skinnier, that is rather vague. And if she wanted to, she could stop right there. And she'd be a success. But remember, her goal is what? Fit in to that dress. She doesn't want to show up to her son's wedding in the dress she didn't want, saying, well, at least I'm a little bit skinnier. No. The dress. So there's another guy. There's a guy who wants to bench press 250 pounds. He can do about 175 right now. So if you're quick with the math, how much more weight does he have to bench press to get to his goal? 75 pounds. Nothing, right? Well, maybe it is. And so he's determined, darn it, I'm going to bench press 250. Now, what is his goal? What's his strategy? He's got to not only go to the gym, he's going to maybe get some protein mixes, ask his buff friend to help him out. He gets up to about 225, 230, and he's just been humming for weeks and months of working on this, and he's at 225, 230. He's feeling really good about that. He's got a decision to make. Do I just content myself with being better than I started, or do I keep pressing on to my specific goal of being 250? Now, if he wants to be a success in the task he's given himself, he has to keep going past the 25, past the 30, till he gets to 50. What in the world am I talking about? Well, let me tell you. In this life of following Jesus Christ, our goal is a very important thing to be clear about. Because what we're trying to deal with this morning, what Paul brings out in this passage in Colossians, is that we have a choice to make as followers of Jesus. What will my goal be? Will it be a vague thing called better? Better than I started, better than the next guy, better than the worst. Or will it be a very specific, unchanging, unmoving goal of becoming like this man, Jesus Christ? And I want to show you how subtle and how powerful the lie is that many of us have bought that makes it so easy for us to just settle for being a little bit better. being content with just being a little better than we started or better than the next guy. Look with me at what Paul says here in verses 28 and 29. This is where we're going to hover most clearly. After already establishing who we used to be, the enemy, the one alienated from God, the sinner, he talks about how Christ reconciles us through his physical body on the cross, dying for us, making us a holy people. He starts talking in verse 24 about his suffering for the church, filling up what's lacking in Jesus' afflictions. What is he talking about? We proclaim him, Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom to make sure they get to heaven, right? So that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Notice how he goes about it. To this end, I labor, struggling. That word struggling means wrestling, like in the ring with a competitor, giving it your whole body, your whole self to this task. To this end, I labor, struggling, wrestling with all his energy. Whose energy? Not Paul's energy, Christ's energy, which so powerfully works in me. I need to bring out for you a subtle lie that has pervaded some of the churches, some of the Christians, some of the Christian world. And it goes like this. The goal of Jesus' work on the cross and his resurrection and the gospel message is just to get to heaven. Focus in my entire existence is just to get to heaven. Now, I know you're thinking, whoa, lie is a very strong word. What are you talking about? If it's not true, it's a lie. Okay? So even if there's partial truth in it, but it's not all true, it's still considered a lie. Well, Satan's very good at taking a very beautiful truth of God and tweaking it just so it can become poisonous to us. Is it true that Jesus Christ, by dying on the cross as a sinless man, the Son of God, and being raised from death forever, has given us the opportunity and the availability of living with God forever in heaven and then in the new creation? Is it true? If it's true, say amen. Amen. Is that good news? Yes! Why do you think it's called the gospel? Okay? This is amazing, especially when you consider what our fate was before his intervention. To consider the reality that we were meant because of our sin, not by God's design. We were meant, according to our sin, to be in a place cut off from God forever called hell, of torment and suffering. To think that instead of that, we have the promise of eternal life with God in a beautiful, perfect place. This is good news. The real lie here is what Paul brings out when he says that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. What does the word perfect mean? Let's look at some alternate words for perfect. Perfect means to be complete, to be full. It doesn't mean I've never, ever made a mistake ever again. What it means is I'm a complete, full person. Now, Jesus is the one perfect, complete, full person to always look to. Amen. Sinless in every way, he completely did the full will of God constantly. He not only stayed away from the bad, he always embraced the full good he was meant to do. Well, what I find is that so often the way we hear the gospel, whether it's said this way or not, the way we often hear the gospel is that Jesus died so I can go to heaven. Now, that's true. There's truth in that. The word just, though, that word just, I just need to make it to heaven, there is the lie. Because let's think about this. If the only goal of my existence is to make it to heaven, what do I do now? I'm told in the gospel I can't earn my way to heaven. Check, got it, grace. It's grace, not my good works that get me there. And I'm also told, or at least I think, that my only goal is to get to heaven. So I have nothing to do with going to heaven, and all I need to do is try to get to heaven. What do I do now? Anybody wrestled with this question? This explains the boredom of so many Christians. My goal is to get to heaven, can't do much about it right now, so what do I do now? I'll fill my life with interesting things. And even when we do religious things, in that mindset of just getting to heaven, you know what that means? It means I'm just making sure I'll get there. That I don't fall too far away from grace, because then I might not get there. We'll return to that thought in a second. I need to tell you what the real truth is here. The real truth is that Jesus came in a perfect life to die on a cross for us, to set us free from sin, to be raised by God the third day, to live forever and reign at his right hand so that we can become like Jesus. Remember in Romans chapter 8 that Paul said that he has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son, so that Jesus can be the firstborn among many brothers. That's what God has in mind. Good news. In the process of making us like Christ, he has already secured our place with him in his kingdom. Amen? If you ever live in fear that you are not going to be with God forever, it's simply because you don't trust his gospel. His gospel guarantees certain things. If you trust me, you'll be there. Done deal. Taken care of. Purchased it on the cross. Gave you my spirit. It's over. The decision's been made. You decided to follow and trust Christ. The decision for your eternity is made. So if you're ever living in the struggle with, am I going to make it? I hope I make it. I hope he lets me in. That means you haven't fully trusted this gospel. And maybe you need to wrestle with that today if that's you. But for we who have some confidence in our eternal destiny because we trust this gospel, the question of what do we do now comes up. What's it all about now, this long life, God willing, that I live on this planet called Earth before I get to the heaven thing? In doing so, I need to look at two different mindsets. Because looking at these mindsets has helped me incredibly in realizing what's holding me back from becoming Christ-like and even pursuing Christ-likeness. I want to talk first about the better mentality. The better mentality says, my goal is to get to heaven. It's a place, a location. And God will be there. That'll be nice too. But I want to get to heaven, the place. Why do you want to go to heaven? Because it's so nice there. I'm not going to suffer. I'm not going to cry. I won't die anymore. And the streets are made of gold. That's pretty cool, right? And I want to get to that place called heaven. Relationship is important, I guess. But heaven's the main goal. In order to have that goal in mind, what that means for my life now, here and now, is that my actions are all about making sure I don't stray too far from what it takes to get there. My actions are entirely focused, religiously speaking, on getting to a place. So I'll do bare minimum. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've either been this way or know people who are this way. When it comes to doing things of the religious nature, they will do bare minimum to make sure they get there. And that's why hypocrisy is the biggest label the world will throw on the church constantly. Because so many in the churches have this mindset of better. I'm better than I used to be. I'm better than the next guy. I'm better than that non-believer. They cuss awfully. I don't cuss at all. That's why I'm going to heaven one day. Did you see what she wears? I don't wear that, you know? The better mentality says, my goal is to be better, either than I used to be or that person is. And my goal is to get to a place called heaven. This is a very boring and shallow life in Christ. Now, if you get to heaven, kudos, that's wonderful for you. The problem is you have wasted the entire life he gave you on earth in the process of getting there. And if your only goal is to get to heaven, you're not too concerned with what Jesus says to you when you get there. Because Jesus presents a few alternative statements he might make to the people who make it to his kingdom. And Paul describes one of the options as being someone who gets there barely escaping the flames. So you can see that the better mentality, whose goal is simply to make it to the place called heaven and just do bare minimum to make sure I'm not kicked out, it's a very empty, shallow way to live. And so many of us are living it without wanting to. And that's why so many of us have inside of us this constant discontent. I know I'm supposed to be more Christ-like, I just don't know how, and I don't even know if I really should bother with that because I'm going to be going to heaven anyways. And if I'm in heaven, what's the difference? So guess who the center of the better mindset is? Me. Because my goal is for me to get there. I'm the center of that mindset. Flip with me from the icky better mentality to the beautiful best mentality. This is the mentality that understands my purpose is to know God, please him, and bring him glory. Understands in order to do that, I must become Christ-like. And now my life is suddenly full of adventure. Now my life is a full, beautiful opportunity to constantly grow towards this end of becoming like Christ. There's constantly the sense that today is a day that means something. Because today holds the amazing potential to help me become more like my master. I get to see him more fully and more deeply, and then I get to become like that. And the gathering of the saints becomes something that's wildly adventurous, because I know that not only am I going to have a chance to see Jesus more clearly in these people, and not only am I going to have a chance to receive from them the help I need to become like Christ, I have the amazing opportunity to go to these precious human beings and help them in their progress towards Christ-likeness. You see, the better mentality in a church service is, did my duty, and the people are so nice. The best mentality is, I became more like Christ today because of that gathering. I can't wait for the next one. Do you see the difference? One has a real specific goal in mind. The other one's just kind of nebulously waiting around for the big thing to happen, heaven. In the best mentality, what's the big thing? Becoming like my master. Here's why this cancels out the boredom factor for Christians. Heaven, I can't do much about. He'll get me there. The cross has paid the price. If I simply trust and yield to him, it's a done deal. Christ-likeness, however, this is going to take the labor and the struggle that Paul's talking about. Becoming perfect in Christ, that's the struggle and the labor. Is it not grace then, Ryan? Oh, you better believe it's grace. How many of you think, starting off as you were without Christ, looking at Jesus in the Bible and seeing his image and who he is, that without Christ, his spirit, his word, and his people, that you could just decide one day, you know, I'm going to become like that Jesus person. Here I go. How long is it going to take before you give up in horrible disappointment? If it is difficult enough for Christians who have the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the people of God surrounding us, good luck on your own without the Spirit, the Word, and the people. It is the grace, the gifting, the generosity of God that even makes Christ-likeness possible, but it doesn't cancel out our part and participation in the process. This takes training and discipline. And the best mentality never scrutinizes my behavior or my attitudes through the lens of, is it allowed? It always scrutinizes my behavior and mentality through, is it like Jesus? That's the big difference, isn't it? One is legal, one is relational. So the lie says, I'm just trying to get to heaven. The truth says, I'm trying to become like Christ. More than that, I'm training to become like Christ. The better mentality focuses on, is it allowed? And the best mentality focuses on, will it help me become like Jesus? And so let me give you a few examples of how this actually looks in real life. Are you ready? And I'm sure you'll know right off the bat what I'm talking about. Somebody that uses a lot of bad words, expletives, the curse words, four-letter ones, whatever you want to call it. Let's just say the F-bomb is no stranger to this guy, okay? Whenever he gets mad or frustrated, or even just in typical conversation, to cut people down and to deride people, he will just fling the nastiest, disgusting words out there possible because it makes him sound so big and tough. Well, he hears the gospel of Jesus calling him to repent and become a different person, and so he says to himself, I should stop using those horrible words. So now when I'm angry and yelling at people to cut them down, I'll sound more sophisticated and polite. Instead of bleepity bleepity bleep, it's you stupid idiot, I hate your guts. Look at the change Jesus has made in me. Cleaned me up real good. You can see the problem with the better mentality. It's not Christ-like yet. There's a problem here. When I'm so contented being better than I used to be that I'll stop there and never become like Jesus. There are a few examples in the scriptures that I really want to bring out to you. Peter comes up to Jesus one day. Now, Peter's a great disciple, usually. And so he comes up to Jesus one day, and in this moment, he actually is being a really good disciple because he's asking the question of Jesus. Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? That's quite generous. The largesse of this gesture is wonderful. 7 times, Jesus, what do you think? I'm thinking he's hoping that Jesus will be very impressed with his generosity because the typical Jewish number is 3. Forgive him 3 times. And I think the thinking is, and it's quite commonsensical, if after 3 times they're not getting it, they're not going to get it, right? So Peter comes with the big 7. That's 2 times plus. 2 times as much as the original. Remember Jesus' response? Peter, you're so much better than those other guys. Go, way to go, big guy. Is that how Jesus responds? He says, no, not 7. Shuts him down entirely on the better idea. He said it's 70 times 7. Or 77, however you translate that. The point is, Peter, I think the problem here is not the number, it's that you're counting. That's the problem. It's not about a legal rule to meet. It's about the heart that would not give up on somebody, even after 77 times. This relationship's too important. You're too important. You see, the better mentality says, I kept my end of the bargain, I forgave 7 times, I'm good with God. The best mentality says, I'm not that big a deal right now, I want to make sure you're okay. I'll forgive you. We'll move forward together. How about this? Paul in the book of Ephesians says to the thieves in Ephesians, he who is stealing must steal no longer. Now, if you stop there, you're a pretty good religious leader. I mean, that's really good advice, right? Hey, thief, stop it, okay? Everyone agrees this is really good advice. Good job. You'll be better than you were if you as a thief stop thieving. But he doesn't stop there. He says, he who has been stealing should steal no longer, but should work doing something useful with his own hands. I'm thinking, Paul, you're taking us to better than better. Okay, so not only do you stop taking from others what's not yours, you actually work to take care of your own self. Fantastic. He's not done yet. He's still only in better. See how he concludes the thought to the best. He who is stealing must steal no longer, but should work doing something useful with his own hands so that he can have something to share with those in need. So you went from the worst, which is stealing, taking what's not yours, hurting someone to help yourself, to stopping that and being kind of in neutral territory, just taking care of your own self. That's better. But now we get to the very best. Forget about your own self for a second and do this so that you can help other people. That's Christ-likeness. That's where the best takes you. It doesn't just, I'm going to stop doing bad things. It's, I want to embrace the very best thing, which is to love people, to give to them. I have so many more examples that I won't take the time, but let me just suggest this. Go to the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 of Matthew. The best mentality says, don't murder. Very good. If you're a murderer, just stop it. Or if you're inclined to be a murderer sometime later, don't, right? And so the better mentality says, I'm not going to murder. Don't commit adultery. Great, that's a great idea. Don't do that. Don't take oaths that you're going to break. Sure. And on he goes about what not to do in the old law, simple, clear cut. The better mentality says, I didn't do those things, so I'm doing pretty good. You know what Jesus came to say? Better is not going to be good enough. You're stopping short of my purpose for you. Instead of not murdering, why don't you not be angry in the first place? Become the kind of person that loves so deeply that anger doesn't even arouse in you to the point of slandering them or killing them. Instead of not committing adultery, why don't you go beyond that to the best, which is to have such a heart and a mind that you don't even lust after the girl with your eye? You love your wife too much to dishonor her and your marriage that way. You see the difference here. Better is legal. Best is relational. Better says, am I allowed to and still get to heaven? And best says, will this be like Christ and make him happy? So where do we go from here? I'm hoping that the lie has been shown. I'm hoping that it's clear that we are prone to believe something that's simply not true. We stop short of the glorious thing God has for us. But the question still remains, how? And I've got one word for you. Together. Okay. We're pursuing Christ-likeness together. If you have tried with your own strength to become more like Jesus and you're getting frustrated endlessly because you keep finding I'm not making as much progress as I think I should, it's so hard. I want to remind you of the gifts God has given you. Because what Paul says is that we do it. We labor and struggle with all the energy, his energy, that works so powerfully in us. He has given you his Spirit. And the gift of the Spirit is not to get you to heaven. The gift of the Spirit is to make you like Christ on the way there. The fruit of the Spirit is not heaven, right? What did Paul write in Galatians? The fruit of the Spirit is heaven. No. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. All of those are like just like this one person, Jesus. The purpose and the result of the Spirit's presence in our lives is this, to form us into the image of God's own Son. You have that gift. Don't underestimate its power. His power to make you like Christ is real. Why would you ever think it's not possible when you have the living God in you? Remember what Paul said, the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is at work in you. If he can bring Jesus back from the dead forever, he might be able to make progress in people like us. Amen. You know what else he's given you? His word. His word is constantly available to you. In a book form, in electronic form, in people speaking to you, Tell me, in what age of humanity has the Word of God ever been more available? In more languages, in more versions, in more study types? You can get a Bible for just about anybody, any particular interest. You're in the Army? Here's an Army Bible. You like biking? Here's a biking Bible. I mean, it's crazy. We have so many resources at our fingertips, and if we are not coming to the Word to be changed into Christ-likeness, we cannot think it's impossible. All we can think is we are not taking advantage of the beautiful gift given us. Amen. You know, the third gift given us is the body of Christ. If you have a Bible and the Holy Spirit at home, you can go far, but I'm telling you, you will not become like Christ. You need the body. Because you can blind yourself to what the Word and the Spirit are saying to you. It's whispered. You cannot ignore when a member of the body comes to you and says, hey, this whole adultery thing, you've got to cut that out. You can ignore it when a member of the body of Christ loves you so desperately that they will not do the easy thing and avoid confrontation. They will go to you and say, this is not Christ-like. This is going to hurt you and us and him. No, let's find the heart of Christ for you in this. What do you do with that? You have a clear choice now. You can't just pretend it's not happening. You either say, yes, let's go to Christ-likeness, or say, no, heck with you. I mean, but there's a choice to be made. But here's what this requires. We must do it. Just throwing someone into a church and saying, there, they're going to help you. Not really. We have to train ourselves to be this kind of body. And it's already happening. Okay, don't get me wrong. It's already happening in New Hope. That's why we're developing as we are. But we can go further. I believe we can agree on this. We can be more intentional with helping each other become like Christ. Our conversations can be centered on Christ more than they are. We should want to know about each other's week and the work and weather, and all those things are great to know about each other. But ultimately, if that's all we're hovering on when we converse with each other, we are not being the body of Christ we're meant to be. Because somebody with an inner desire to become like Christ should be able to come to New Hope's gatherings and be able to just know someone will help me become like Christ when I go there, you know? There should be that person who so longs to be like Christ that when they come here, somebody's ready and willing to actually help them. Now, you may not like the word discipleship. That's fine. Pick another one, but that's really what we're talking about. Somebody willing to invest your life into another's life to help them become like Jesus. Not with a book and a curriculum necessarily, but with life itself. Ask them the tough questions. Follow up on the question you asked last week. Pray for them. Ask them how God moved in their life. Let's become such people. We're pursuing Christ-likeness together. We're going to fit into that dress, darn it. It's not good enough to lose a few pounds. We're going to get into that dress. We're going to bench press that 250, not just better than 175. We're going to become like Christ, not just be a little cleaner than we were when we started this thing, waiting for heaven. Amen? We're going to be better than better. We're going to be best. Because God has guaranteed it through his word, his spirit, and his body. We can become like Christ because we are, before anything in our lives, disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. May this word of the Master about him and from him be an encouragement and challenge to you as you decide to follow him. We here at New Hope Community Church want you to know that we are here to help you become a follower of Jesus Christ and to find full eternal life in him, and to help you grow mature in him if you already know him. If we can help you in either of these steps, would you let us know? You can call us at 661-945-8878. You can reach us by email at newhope@avnewhope.com. You can also visit us online at our website at avnewhope.com. Or you can write or visit us in person at 405 East Avenue J, in Lancaster, California, 93535. Well, that's about all the time we have with you. And so before we go, may I remind you once again that our great desire and prayer for you is that you would live the fullest, most beautiful life as you follow Jesus Christ, hearing, believing, and obeying the word of the Master.